Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to the Escape Adulthood Show with Kim and Jason. This is show number 40. On today's show, we share 10 awesome tips for spicing up family dinners and making fun memories that will last a lifetime. We also talk about peanuts, share a poem written by a member, and give an update on our effort to crown the all-time greatest childhood food.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land where the people sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim, saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. And we're here today for another episode. It is November. November rain comes to mind.
Yes. That old,
Guns N' Roses song.
The longest song ever.
Yes.
Although that and the Meatloaf song was high school dances, you know.
Classics.
If you were dancing with someone you liked, it was awesome because it was like 10-minute songs. But if you were not dancing with someone you liked, it was the longest 10 minutes of your life.
Well, the Meatloaf one especially is like slow and then fast.
Yeah,
it's
kind of awkward.
And if you went to high school dances in, what would that be, the early 90s? You know what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, that would be about the early 90s, yeah.
So let's kick off the show with the mind bender.
Okay.
As always, how's that sound?
Sounds great.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, you should never, never doubt what nobody is sure about.
So we're going to talk about peanuts.
Okay.
Today.
Because it's food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, we got this whole food thing going.
Yeah.
Food and family, that's our theme for November. So I've been trying to, like, last week I did the Kellogg's one. Was it Gorp?
Yeah, that
was like
terrible.
One of their original, you know, 50-50 chance you blew it. But I figured,
the odds are with me this
week. I figured
week.
We'd go with another 50-50 chance. Okay, so
good.
The peanut, is it a nut or is it a pea? Which is it?
Is it a nut or is it a pea? Well, what makes something a pea? Other than a pea.
This is a good question.
I think I'm going to go with nut because it's got the shell and other nuts have shells. It resembles more of a nut than, it doesn't come in a pod. Although they do come in a bowl.
Really stumped you this time, huh?
I'm going with my
Would
first
you rather
answer.
Have asked a question about the World Series?
No. The nut.
The nut. Okay, yes. So you say a peanut is a nut.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll let you know if you're right at the end of the show.
Okay.
Why not? Do or do not. There is no try.
Our main topic this week, still revolving around food, interestingly
yes.
enough, is 10 tips for spicing up family dinners. All right, so for those of you listening, family dinner is a huge thing. All right, and we have another show dedicated next week. I think it is. We're going to be talking with Father Leo Petalinghung, I believe is his name, Petalinghung, and he talks a lot about the importance of family dinners. So for this one, it's kind of an entree,
an appetizer,
I guess,
if you will.
And it's just one of the keys is to make sure that mealtime, there's something to look forward to, because no one, like, you know, if it's just leftovers or it's boring all the time, like, what, there's not a lot of energy there. So we've got some ideas.
Yeah, spice it
to
up.
To spice it
bit.
Up.
And all there's right. 10 ideas, so even if you implemented, like, one a week or something, or, you know, even one a month, you could have some fun for a while.
Right, and if you pick one of them and you like it, it becomes a tradition.
Yeah.
Maybe once a month you're doing it.
Right.
So here we go. Number one, What is the first one?
The first one is to think big. And I have to admit, we got this idea from a couple at a speaking gig.
Yes, I remember
They told us they did this with their kids, and it was awesome. Basically, pull out the big cooking utensils, like the soup ladle, potato masher, spatula, you know, the things that sit in
there. Unusually shaped things.
Yeah, that sit on your counter so you can grab when you're cooking. Okay, put them in the middle of the table. And then each person takes a turn picking a crazy utensil that they will use to eat their dinner with.
The whole dinner?
Yes, and nothing else. They can only use that.
So if you have the potato masher, you've got to eat your whole dinner with the potato masher.
No forks, knives, spoons allowed. Okay?
Love it. Love it.
And there's the whole draft thing where it's like you put, you know, maybe you have five people in your family, put five things in the middle, and then it's just funny to see who gets
stuck with the last
one. Yeah. So that's a fun one.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Okay, so what's the second one?
All right, the second one is called Picasso the Portions.
Okay, Picasso. Now, Picasso is the artist. I'll step in with my artist hat here. Many years of art history. You may have heard of this little known artist known as Picasso, who was, of course, famous for the crazy paintings of people that don't look like people. They look like a five-year-old did it.
Kind of unconventional.
Unconventional, weird proportions, things like that.
So basically, do that with your food by putting the different foods in different types of containers, okay? So
for instance,
of course, you're going to put your salad in a bowl. No, not today, okay? You're going to put it maybe in an ice cream dish or a cup.
Okay.
Put your main dish, so say you have mashed potatoes and meatloaf or something, put it in a mug. Okay. Put your drink in a bowl, which the kids will love, you know, that's a cereal thing, drinking the milk. And there's a website where I got this really cool idea. We'll share it in the notes, but basically like taking ice cream cones and putting mashed potatoes in the ice cream cones and then topping it with peas and carrots.
Oh, that's awesome.
So here you have an ice cream cone and it's part of your dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea is just think outside of the conventional containers, you know? Serve smoothies in a bowl and eat it like soup.
I like that. That's kind of fun. You could really get creative with that one.
Definitely.
For sure.
All right, number three, Color Me Bad. Do you remember that
dear.
Band?
Yes. What is this? This is the high school dance theme here.
Okay. This one we share in our speaking gigs. It's so easy. Take that little box of food coloring that you usually only use for Christmas cookies, the one with the four things, put it on your counter, and just let it sit there and have...
See what happens.
See what happens, okay?
You'll hear it yearning, like... Man, something, right? You know, like
purple
green eggs,
mashed potatoes,
right?
Green eggs, you know, red milk, something, you know, if you're making pot roast, just stick a bunch of green food coloring in it. I don't know.
Green pot roast.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Again, kids are going to love that. I know some of you out there thinking, oh,
that's
sounds
disgusting.
But it tastes the same.
It does.
Right? Trust us.
It does. Food coloring does not change the taste of food.
This is correct.
Okay.
Okay, number four.
Dress it up, okay? For no reason at all, have a fancified dinner, okay? Ask all the attendees to come dressed up, light candles, use your best china, wine glasses if you have crystal, cloth napkins, tablecloths, put on some elegant music. I mean, even if you're eating mac and cheese, it's fun to dress it up a bit.
Very
so
good.
Now, fresh flowers is always nice,
oh, that's
too.
A good touch, yeah. The little details are what makes that. And here's the thing. We, you know, you mentioned the china.
Yeah.
People get their china, they get it for their wedding or they get a hand-me-down or whatever, and no one ever uses it.
Well, it's too good. What if you break it,
it's like you're waiting until the president of the United States comes to your house. That's when you can use it. Why not once in a while use the china?
Well, I have a little tip for
this is a rule that doesn't exist.
It is a rule.
That you can't use the
china.
And
if your excuse is like the millions of others that you may break a rare piece of your china, there's a thing called eBay, and you can get on there and find anything in the world that people
That's
are trying to
true.
Get rid of. We know a friend that was doing that. She was missing a couple pieces, and she found it all on eBay. So
if you break something, it's not the end of the world.
It's not.
You can find it on eBay, or
just
invite
let it go.
Invite one less person to dinner the next time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Do you really use the gravy boat anyway? That always gets broken. Okay.
You could use that in the Picasso thing.
Maybe right.
Put a hamburger in the gravy boat.
All right. Number five. This is one of my favorites. Backwards dinner. Okay. Start with dessert, preferably something very special that the the attendees' family members love. Mm-hmm. Then have your main course, follow it with super salad before finishing the meal with a delicious appetizer.
Okay. Everything is in reverse.
Yeah, and if you want to take it to the next level, you can ask family members to come to the table with their clothes on backwards.
That would have to be done, yes.
That would be good if you have younger kids, because it's like we're having a backwards dinner. Go change your clothes to make it backwards.
Yes.
They would
freak you don't have
out.
Your clothes on right.
Yeah, that would be very fun.
Number six.
Okay, all hands on deck, number six. Basically, this is going to get a little messy. So if you're one of those people who never like to play with Play-Doh because your hands got weird... Okay, take a deep breath. Okay.
Hands got weird playing with Play-Doh?
Some kids don't like textures.
Okay.
So, all right. Buy a disposable plastic tablecloth. And here's the deal. No plates or utensils are allowed for this eating experience.
No plates or utensils.
No.
Not even the funny utensils.
No.
Okay.
You put the dinner in the middle of the table on the plastic cloth. And then you just invite your barbarians to drag their portions to their spots and eat it. Okay, no napkins, no worries. Okay, when it's all said and done, throw away the messy tablecloth, wash up the sticky hands, and, you know, you've had some fun. We're talking spaghetti and meatballs would be fun. Mm. To drag the noodles one by one. Fried chicken is always fun. But
yeah.
The cool thing about that is to have mashed potatoes and gravy.
Coleslaw. I think the key with this one is the plastic tablecloth. That's what makes it doable and not insane.
I think the other key is to pick a meal that could really get fun. Like, I was thinking stir fry with sticky rice. Mm. You know?
Okay.
Like, you can eat that with
your
hands.
You're really channeling... a five-year-old boy right now. I think that's just like...
That's my life.
Okay.
So, all right.
That's a good one. All hands on deck. Okay, number seven.
Okay, create a camp out. Basically, have an indoor camping experience. This is great in the winter if you live in a cold climate too. Okay, set up a tent in your living room or dining area. You can even hang Christmas lights around and turn out the lights so it kind of creates that dark, you know, atmosphere. Bring in some lawn chairs or a blanket. And then serve up whatever you eat at a campsite, okay? So if you're the hot dog family with baked beans and chips and...
potato salad, that sort of thing.
Yeah, whatever your family likes at their campsites. If you have a fireplace, it'd be great to light it. Roast some marshmallows. You can even make s'mores for dessert, tell ghost stories. This is just something fun to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, particularly I would think like after the holidays. Because right now...
Winter's coming, but
there's a lot to look forward to. Once you hit the end of January, February, where you live in a place where there's a lot of snow and cold, it's like, mix it up a little bit.
It's good for like a Friday or Saturday night. It almost becomes the entertainment for the whole night. Jason and I actually, do you remember when we made s'mores on the gas stove?
Yeah, that little cabin that we rented. And,
This is something that needs to be supervised by an adult, for sure. But if the gas stove flame...
We didn't have that, though.
We were adults then.
Oh, I guess technically, yes. Okay.
All right. Number eight.
This one is a good one.
Yes. Dinner in the dark. Basically, have your whole meal in complete darkness.
Like, this is not candlelight dinner we're talking.
Turn the lights out. And it's good in the winter months when... it's not light outside. The room has to be dark, okay? So draw
pitch
the shades.
Pitch black,
yes.
As they say.
Pitch black. This totally heightens the taste buds and your senses. So try to pick a meal or a menu that has lots of rich and bold flavors, like some fresh fruits like pineapple or strawberries, or maybe some spicy meats, you know, it's like shish kebabs or something like that.
This is from a CSI episode.
It
isn't
is.
It? This one.
And I don't think try not to have anyone get killed during the meal. I think that was the point.
Let's not go that far. You're not insinuating that that's a possibility if you have
this. Well, in the dark, you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know what murder.
So.
This might be a good thing to do without very young children.
Yeah.
Right? But this would actually be cool for like a dinner party.
Yeah.
I would think.
That's
with like
true.
Your friends.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, then you're even, you know, paying attention to people's voices more. And just like I said, all the senses become more heightened except for your sense of sight.
Very cool.
So.
Yes, that would be the one that not so much with the heightened.
No. All right. Number nine, one-handed Willy. All right. This one.
This involves cutting your hand off.
No.
It's a little fun parlor trick we like to play.
This would be very difficult for me. But basically, you have to eat your dinner
with only your non-dominant hand. Okay, so if you're one of those crazy ambidextrous people, this is really not that big a deal for you.
Those lunatics.
But, you know, it's difficult for some people, and I'm speaking from experience, to use their non-dominant hand for things that matter. So,
like eating.
Like writing your name or eating or, you know, things like that. So it'd just be something fun to add, and you're going to giggle. You're going to laugh because people are going to be spilling food and looking silly. So
yes.
Would you have a problem with that?
It would not be pretty. I'll say that.
But you do bat left-handed.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I eat peas left-handed.
Maybe that's something to do, is pick foods that have little things.
That you really have to be, yeah. Yes, chopsticks, perhaps.
Fine motor
I can't
skills.
Use chopsticks regularly. I know.
All right, last but not least, number 10, make it together, okay? Pick a recipe that the whole family can enjoy working together on. And, you know, we did this growing up, is make your own pizzas, where you have the little kind of cake pans.
Individual sizes.
Mm-hmm, where everybody gets their own dough and you get to top it.
You know what else
you
can do is make one big pizza and divide it up.
Oh, yeah.
And people can their toppings on their section.
Of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Soup is another good meal for this because there's so much to contribute, you know.
Someone has to bring the stone.
And the book to read, yes, with it. Or, you know, creatively shaped pancakes. That's kind of fun because everybody kind of has an opinion of, you know, Mickey Mouse or whatever they want. So
Mickey Mouse tastes better than Santa's boot.
Santa's boot pancake.
Well, I'm thinking cookie cutters. We have a Santa's boot cookie cutters.
Okay.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
I've
for
never seen
reason.
A Santa's boot pancake. But anyway, so hopefully, you know, out of our list of 10, one of those will be inspiring to you guys, and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, and if there's any, like, family traditions, some of these that we got are from people that shared family traditions.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
You know, definitely email us or give us a call if you have one that we miss that would be totally cool.
Hi, neighbor. How are you doing?
Join the club. We've got jackets.
So we got some feedback from, it was an ebook we did in October.
Yes.
The recipes, gruesome recipes that you can make for Halloween. And read this email. This is so cool. So gratifying to get an email like this.
Yeah. Jenny Lewis, one of our members, thank you so much for sending this in. Basically, she did one of our recipes. So if you saw the book, there was a kitty litter cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was quite realistic looking.
You put it in the kitty litter box and everything. So here's what she had to say. I made the kitty litter cake for a staff lunch. What fun watching the faces of folks wondering what that was doing on the table. Some people wouldn't touch the cake, even after assurances that everything was edible and the box was new. Somebody made the best comment. I have to scoop that stuff every day. There's no way I'm eating it. And I asked her if I scooped out some of the cake or some cake and took out the Tootsie Rolls, would she try some of the cake? And she did, reluctantly. Thanks for a great recipe. This will become a tradition.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can be grossing out the people on your staff. That is great.
It truly is, though. You know,
it is.
Because, you know, ruts. We talk a lot about ruts, but work is a great place for ruts because you just kind of get in the flow. And
it's the number one front for adultitis.
It is.
You really got to work extra hard at work.
So good for you, Jenny. That's awesome.
We also got an email from Judy Irony, and she was writing a response to an article I wrote about the joy of not knowing.
Okay.
The whole idea of how anticipation is something that makes things so much better, and as adults we kind of have the power to eliminate the anticipation. And
that's
so oftentimes we do. We don't realize what we're missing out on. And Judy says, Jason, on the eve of the election, I thought about your blog posting on the joy of not knowing. For me, how scary and delicious all at once this anticipation of how the election would turn out. Anticipation is an amazing thing, and I have never lost its joy. My mom taught me to savor the joy of anticipation. Life offers the sweetest moments in waiting for the Easter Bunny, the first day of school, the cookies to get done baking, Santa, opening presents, greeting friends at the airport, or just that simple moment before that first fork of pumpkin pie and whipped cream meets your lips at Thanksgiving. As you and Kim share in the scary, fabulous, heart-beating, giddy, magnificent anticipation before the birth of the world's most incredible child. Thank you.
Wow, Judy.
I just wanted to say that we salute you reveling in the spectacular wonder of expectation. I also wanted to share a poem that I wrote 15 years ago, a little too long to post as a comment on your blog, in praise of anticipation. Cheers. So here we go. This is entitled Mystery by Judy Irene. Be not afraid, my friend, that you do not know, for it is this mystery that gives you life. It is the vision of the explorer, the anticipation of the lover, the bated breath of the player that gives reason and excitement to the game. For why would you play if you knew the final score? And why would you seek when you knew the answer? And where would you travel if all else remains the same? For when we know all we wish to know, we then but know how to die, having lost the spirit to live. So live, my friend, draw close to your heart the hunger to seek what you can gain, to discover what you can give, to experience what you can feel. Be willing to discover what you do not know, and after you have tasted, never release the hunger to experience life and the gift of the mystery, the next moment you do not know.
That's cool.
It's really cool. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that, Judy. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's nice to have people cheering on the excitement of anticipation.
Yes, we need more out there, and that's the thing about Club K&J. Pretty much everyone involved is cheering that anticipation. Okay, so we also have a phone call to play. This is from a fellow, I believe he's called our show before, and this was regarding the no-stress schools we talked about in our last episode. So I'll cue this up. We'll play this phone call.
Hello. I'm calling about your recent conversation about the make-believe school in California that doesn't believe in standardized testing. I was going to applaud Jason on his belief that standardized testing is necessary. In fact, I believe it is a cornerstone of our educational system. Then you told us that schools shouldn't have an all-or-nothing approach, which is dumb. I couldn't disagree more. I believe our schools should be adult factories where children are manufactured into subservient, mild-mannered drones that know how to get a job done. Some tools of the trade: standardized testing, ruler slapping, recess elimination, mandatory rules, the end of summer vacation, and an increased school day. The faster we can teach our kids about the real world, the better off we'll be. And then maybe I won't have children destroying my lawn and taking over my mailbox. Thank you very much.
Well, that was certainly a very passionate and spirited phone call.
We welcome all opinions. So.
Yes, we do. Yes,
thank
we
you
do.
And
as convincing that as that argument was, I am sticking to my guns that a balanced approach seems to be a little not
some
all
of the list of things he had were interesting. Giving no more summer vacation and
rule slapping. Interesting to bring that
or
back.
Ruler slapping, right?
Or ruler, yeah. Using rulers to slap, as it were.
Well,
thank you for your opinion, sir. I don't know that he mentioned his name, but we appreciate all feedback and input. And if you have any feedback or input, anything you want to say about this show, we'd love to hear it. Send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool. Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen!
Our cool thing, this show, is definitely a very cool thing. Basically, they are cups that have different noses on them. They're like paper cups.
Printed on there.
Yeah, they're called Pick Your Nose Party Cups. Because you basically pick which nose you would like.
So it's kind of like when you put it up to drink it.
It looks like
you have
nose.
A different nose, huh?
Right.
Nice.
So, and
I
there
love
are,
these. These
there
are
a variety of types of noses.
These are some of our best sellers, these Pick Your Nose Party Cups, I have to say. And with good reason. I mean, we talked about things to spice up your family dinner and make it fun. This is a perfect complement to that, for sure.
Whenever someone's drinking, they look like they have a new nose. And can you really, you know, ignore the pun of the title of it?
Pick your nose cups. Yeah. There's also, we also have a version that has animals instead
beaks.
Of animal beak noses. Right. Like there's a toucan, you know, like Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops. Yep. Everything comes down to cereal for me. I don't know if you've
Which
noticed.
He has a Fruit Loop shirt on today.
That's why it was in my mind.
Yes.
So yes, this is a very cool pick your nose party cups. And of course, every Club K&J member always gets a 25% discount when you're shopping at the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand.
Yeah, check it out.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
So what's new with Kim and Jason?
Well, I believe we brought this up last week. We are right in the midst of a tournament on our blog.
That is right.
And the all-time greatest childhood food we're trying to figure out.
There's some tough battles going on.
There are.
Yeah.
And this is totally like Sweet 16 style, right? We start out with 16.
16, yeah. So yeah. we're narrowing it down to the last, to the eight.
Okay.
And we've got some great matchups right now. The one going today as we record this, ketchup versus SpaghettiOs, and ketchup has a slight lead over SpaghettiOs.
Ketchup.
That could go
wow.
either way. Also, pizza and sugar-laden cereal are neck and neck.
Really?
I think I checked yesterday.
That's a tough competition.
Cereal was winning. Today, pizza's winning.
Okay.
So
back and forth.
And I should mention that the first round voting ends tonight.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
So
we might
go back and vote.
We might
any
stretch
of
some of the later games to tomorrow.
Okay.
But the second round is starting tomorrow.
This is a good one. Macaroni and cheese versus Twinkies.
Blowout.
Which
isn't
one?
It? It's yeah. dominate. My macaroni and cheese is
I know.
Its butt.
I know, but Twinkies is such a childhood food.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
With chocolate chip cookies is battling French fries, and chocolate chip cookies has a pretty
solid
substantial lead. Not a blowout, I wouldn't say, but does that surprise you? Do any of these surprise you, these late round matchups?
The ketchup
here?
One does.
What would you think? You think SpaghettiOs should
yeah.
put
I mean,
but
who else
put
is
ketchup
eating
on everything, though.
Yeah.
Like, ketchup is the... I mean, definitely the condiment of childhood.
That's true.
My mom used to tell stories about me. I'd dip my green beans in ketchup.
Anything to mask. You still do things like that, trying to mask your veggies.
Whatever. I don't use ketchup as much as I used to. But
what would you have all over your mashed potatoes the other night?
I mixed my carrots.
Okay.
In that, yeah.
Which isn't absurd, but
no.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. If you haven't given, you know, some of your 2 cents on some of these competitions, you're going to want to go back on the blog and just scroll down and
yeah, if you find any of them, they got the pictures and the link to the categories all-time greatest. So if you just click the all-time greatest link,
all of them.
You'll see all of them that are still open, and some of them will be closed. But we're continuing on. We got eight foods left after tomorrow, and we're going to see what is the all-time greatest childhood food.
And you know, when it's all said and done, do we get to eat a whole bunch of that food?
Yeah, I think that's the winner. The winner gets to be eaten.
Yay.
It's probably what should happen.
I hope it's something like...
I hope it's
not ketchup. Yeah, I hope it's something good.
So go vote.
Yeah.
It's your civic duty.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, you should never, never doubt what nobody is sure about.
Well, I gave you 50-50 chance last week.
Okay.
You failed. I gave you another question with this mind bender 50-50 chance. Peanuts. Is it a nut or a pea? And I believe you said it's a nut?
My rationalization with that is because it comes in a shell, and I want to say every other nut comes in a shell. So that's where I'm going with that.
Okay, well...
Of course, I do have doubts, because now I think about a peanut, there's a couple in there, and that resembles a pod, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, the answer is this. A peanut is a legume. That means nothing
yes.
to me. It bears fruit in the form of pods that contain one or more seeds. So the peanut is more closely related to peas than nuts. But we will try again next week.
Come on.
There we go. That's that's your answer to this week's Mind Bender.
What's up, Doc?
Now,
Now, this won't hurt a bit.
So the prescription for this week is to pick one of our 10 tips for spicing up family dinner. I don't really care what it is. My favorite is, I think Picasso the Portions is one of my favorites. Just kind of something very creative and unusual and odd about that. But it's up to you. Obviously the ideas we came up with are pretty simple. Mm-hmm. They're not all that, difficult to think about or to implement.
Or expensive.
But yeah. The key is the ideas are not what's important. The key is to create memories with the people that you love. And amidst today's drumbeat of bad economic news, that is certainly something that will always be priceless.
Well, that's it for the show. Be sure to check out the Clubhouse for today's show notes, featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim, signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.